I want to ask you to find a Bible and open it to Philippians chapter 1 tonight. Philippians chapter 1. We've decided to do things a little different this summer, and I'm excited to have all the young people in here. I think it's important for you guys to learn how to act in a church service. And maybe some of you young people will help some of the not-so-young people stay awake during the church service. Sometimes that's important, too. But this summer, we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to study together in the Word of God about the fact to live is Christ. Christ is life. If you have Christ, you have life. If you don't have Christ, you don't have life. But to live is Christ. And everything about our lives is to be focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is everything. He is all and in all. And Jesus isn't just someone we talk about when we come to church. He is our life. If you're born again, He is everything. And I want to challenge everybody, not just the young people, but everybody this summer to realize that life is in Christ and we are to live our lives for Christ. There is a brand of Christianity in the world today, especially here in America, that it's very surface, it's very shallow, it's not real, it's not genuine, and it does not glorify God. And I want to challenge you from the Word of God to have a relationship with Christ through repentance and faith in the gospel, and to challenge you to live for Christ every single day of your lives. He is everything. We want to live for Him. And so if you're able, let's stand together to honor the reading of the Word of God. Philippians chapter 1 tonight. And we're going to begin reading at verse 18. Philippians 1, verse 18. Man, it's so good to hear those Bible pages rustling. That's good sound. So find your place there in Philippians chapter 1, verse 18. And the Word of God says, "What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot or I know not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the joy and hope that it brings. And Lord, I pray tonight that if there's a man or a woman, a boy or a girl in this service that has never been saved, I pray tonight they would repent of their sin and unbelief, that they would trust in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ with all their heart, Lord, that they would believe on you and call on your holy name and receive the gift of eternal life tonight, that they would be born again, they'd be saved tonight by faith in Christ alone. Please convict our hearts, Lord, not only to trust in you for salvation, but to live for you day by day by your grace and by your Spirit. Please bless your word now and help us, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. I want to thank you for being respectful to the Word of God, and we stand to honor the Word. And Paul the Apostle writes to the church at Philippi while he's in prison. And he is letting them know that anytime the gospel's preached, he rejoices in that. There were some people that were preaching the gospel and they didn't really even believe it. Some people were preaching the gospel, as a matter of fact, because they thought by telling other people the death, resurrection of Jesus, it would make things worse for the Apostle Paul. And some of them were preaching it in truth. They believed it, and they're preaching it for the right reasons. And here's the amazing thing. Paul said, I don't care why they're preaching it. I don't care if they're doing it because they know it's true or because they're doing it to cause trouble for me. As long as the gospel is preached, I'm going to rejoice. Amen? We ought to rejoice anytime the gospel's preached. Now, don't misunderstand me. There are people preaching false gospels today, and we don't want to rejoice in that. We should stand against false doctrine. But anytime somebody is preaching salvation through faith in Christ alone, repentance and faith in Christ alone, we ought to rejoice in that. We ought to rejoice. And I want you to see tonight, first of all, the cheerfulness of the gospel. That word rejoice means to have a calm cheerfulness. It means to be joyful. It means to rejoice in your heart and in your life. And this rejoicing isn't something you keep inside so nobody knows. This is a rejoicing and a joy that shows forth. And man, we ought to rejoice when the gospel is preached. Every once in a while I get a text from somebody in the church or one of my pastor buddies or friends from other churches, and they'll say, pray for so-and-so. I just got to share the gospel with them. Man, that thrills my soul. That thrills my heart. We ought to rejoice when the gospel is preached. There is joy that's found, and it can only come from the gospel. Well, you think about it for a second. Is there any joy possible in the world today without the salvation that comes through the gospel of Jesus Christ? Now, we can have fleeting moments of happiness. We can have things that make us happy for a little while, but then it goes away. We can have things that bring momentary bouts of pleasure. We get to do things that are fun, but then the fun's over. How many of you guys have been swimming already this summer? All right, do you like to swim? How many of you guys have fun swimming? Okay, and then when you get done, you wish you could go swimming again, right? It's fun, and then it's over, and then the only way you can have that fun again is to go swimming again, and it's something you have to keep doing. But God offers us something different. He gives us something called joy. And it's an everlasting joy, because whether you're doing something fun or whether something terrible's happening, if Christ is your Savior, you have everlasting life. Amen. See, the gospel gives something that the world could never offer. Amen. And there are a lot of little things that make us happy. I've told you before that chocodiles make me happy. How many of you guys know what chocodiles are? Some genius took Twinkies and covered them with chocolate fudge. It was one of the smartest things anybody's ever done, because they're amazing. Amen. Tell me they're amazing. Amen. See, Brother Kevin knows. He got mad at me when I introduced them to him, because then he had to try them. Listen, there are things that make us happy, but they don't give us lasting joy. And the gospel's the only thing that can give us lasting joy. And the other thing that's amazing about it is that I have the gospel because I repented of my sins and trusted Jesus. I got saved when I was 14 years old, and he put his joy in my soul. But it's not just a joy that's personal, that's just for me. I rejoice when other people get the gospel too. It's a joy that just keeps on giving, and it's a joy that just keeps on coming. So he says, in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. I want you to notice next the certainty of salvation. Verse 19, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by my life, by life, or by death. Now, Paul was in prison, and I believe this is what he's saying. Listen, salvation's coming for me, and he may have been talking about two different things. One, I'm going to be set free. I'm confident that I'm going to be set free, and I'm get to come see you. And so there's going to be a liberty there. But he also said, whether that by life, or by death. You see, friends, when you're saved, there's a certainty of your salvation. And whether I live or die, I have the Lord. I have everlasting life abiding on me. Amen. So he was in prison. If I get set free, great. If I don't get set free, even better. If I die in prison, that's good for me. See, that's not normal. It's not normal if I get arrested today and I'm put in prison, it's not normal for a person who's in jail to say, listen, I want to get set free, but if I don't, it's even better. If I die here, that's good. That's better for me. And that's exactly what he said. He said, I'm in a strait betwixt two, down in verse 23, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ. What does that mean? He wants to depart and be with Christ. What's he talking about? Well, he's talking about dying. He's talking about the end of his physical life. He's talking about that moment when his spirit leaves his body and his spirit goes to be with Jesus. And he says, that's far better. See, when somebody's truly born again, when your life is in Christ, you're different. Most people I know don't want to die. They're like that stupid old country song that I wish I didn't know. They want to go to heaven, they just don't want to go right now. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Okay, be ashamed with me that you know what I'm talking about. Listen to me. When you truly know the Lord Jesus Christ, your greatest desire in your heart is to be with Christ. Amen. He says, that's far better for me. See the certainty of his salvation? He knows. He knows what's going to happen to him when he dies. He said, it's far better for me to go, but to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. He said, it's far better for me to die and to go to heaven to be with Jesus, but it's better for you if I stay here because I can help you and I can encourage you and we can work together, strive together for the faith of the gospel. So I would rather go with be with Jesus. I would rather die and be with Jesus, but it's better for me because he's got a work for me to do. And that's the heart that all of us should have. Whether by life or by death, he says, through your prayer and through the supply of the Spirit of God, that earnest expectation and hope that God gives us. Verse 20, according to my earnest expectation and my hope. This is almost, it's kind of a redundant statement to say earnest expectation and hope. But he's emphasizing and overemphasizing that he knows that he knows that he knows. I talk to a lot of people and sometimes I'll ask them if they know for sure they're going to go to heaven when they die. And they'll say, I hope so. But when they say, I hope so, they almost always do this with their shoulders. They shrug. Because they don't know so. The hope that Paul had was not a question. It was an absolute certainty. It was an earnest expectation. He knew without any doubt when he died he'd be in heaven with God. That's the kind of hope the Bible gives us. And friend, I want to tell you tonight, you can know for sure that you have eternal life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. You don't have to wonder if you get to go to heaven someday. You don't have to worry about whether you get to go to heaven someday. You can know because of the Word of God for sure that you're going to go to heaven one day. But you must be obedient to the gospel to have that assurance of salvation. You have to be obedient to the gospel. And I love what he says at the end of verse 20, as with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. I want you to get the boldness of this statement. Paul was able to say, Jesus Christ is magnified always in my life, and he'll continue to be magnified in my life, whether I live or whether I die. Friends, that's a bold statement. That ought to be the heart's desire of everybody here. I want to live a life that there's no question. I know without any doubt the way that I live is going to magnify Jesus. We live in a society that likes to magnify self. We want everybody to look at us. People walk around with selfie sticks so that the world can see them. And now it's summertime, so everybody likes to take pictures of themselves with no clothes on and put it on Instagram. Go ahead and keep your clothes on. Thank you. Man, somebody, let me give you one more chance, okay? Go ahead and leave your clothes on. And understand what I'm talking about. When I'm not, some of you are like really shocked right now. I'm just saying that the amount of clothes people wear this time of year is not an acceptable amount of clothes according to God. Okay, some of you don't like that, but it's the truth. And just as a side note, just because everyone else is wearing it is not a good reason for you to wear it. Or maybe I should say, just because everyone else is not wearing doesn't give you a good reason not to wear. Amen? We're getting ready to go to church camp, and I had to spend a little bit of time Sunday after church having a camp meeting and going over the rules about what kind of clothes are acceptable and all of those different things. You know, it ought to be that we dress, try to dress acceptably all the time, even when there aren't rules. Thank you. Okay, moving on. He had boldness that Christ was magnified in his life. What a heart and what a commitment, what a dedication. Verse 21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I want you to see, we saw the cheerfulness of the gospel. It brings joy and rejoicing because we know we have eternal life. See the certainty that he has. I know that when I die, I'll be in heaven with God. And then notice the singularity of his focus. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I want you to just look at how personal it is. For to me. It's personal. It's personalized. Paul couldn't say, for to you to live as Christ, but he could say, for to me to live as Christ. And everybody here has to make that determination in their own life, in their own heart. Every day when you wake up and you pray and you say, God, help me to live for you today. Help me to die to self and live for you. And as you go through your day, you keep your focus on Jesus Christ. And everything you do, you're looking for ways to magnify Jesus. That's why he could say this. It was personal for him. For to me to live as Christ. And I want to be able to say with that kind of boldness, for to me to live as Christ, my life is hid in Christ Jesus. He is my life. My life is hid in Christ, and he is my life. Colossians 3 and verse 3, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. My life is hid in Christ. Christ is our life. And he said, for to me to live is Christ. See, I think most of the time we know people are what they do. That's confusing. I get it. Anybody know what Brother Steve is? He's a plumber. Why? Because he plumbs. Right? Brother Augie, he's a welder. You know why? Because he welds. I don't know what you are. But if we knew what you are, we would know what you are. If we knew what you did, we'd know what you are. Thank you. For me to live, for to me, to live is Christ. I know people that it doesn't matter what their job is, their life is in Christ. I know people who maybe they're an electrician by trade, but when I think of them, I don't think of Ralph the electrician. I think of Ralph, the man of God, the man who's following Christ. You see, there's some things that can transcend your job description. We think of people who do accounting. He's an accountant or whatever it is. We look at them, but there are people whose life is so focused on Christ that their job description changes. It doesn't matter that their job is a welder or that their job is a homemaker or their job is a teacher or their job is whatever. Their love for Christ overcomes all of the rest of it, and that's who they're known as. They are a Christ follower. Amen. They're a Christian. Amen. Some of you young people, your lives are defined by what you do. Some of you play baseball. That's what you're known for. You play ball. Some of you play basketball. Some of you play football. Some of you only play video games. And that defines your life. He's a gamer. She's a gamer. All of those things, I want you to understand that there's more to life than sports and video games. There's more to life than sports and video games. Amen. This summer, some of you are going to do virtually nothing but lay around and watch movies and maybe go plop in a pool somewhere every once in a while to wash off the Cheetos. I'll never forget, I was so excited. We got an above-ground pool when I was 14 years old. It was the greatest thing in the world. My dad built a deck, and you could just swim until you turned all pruny, and then you could lay on the deck until you dried out, and then you just rolled back over. It was amazing. It was a glorious thing, and I remember that summer I got out of school, and I was so excited because we had that pool. We'd never had a pool before, and it was so awesome. And I went out there all day, every day, for about a week and a half. I think it might have been 2 weeks. My dad was very gracious. On Monday morning, on that third week of summer, my father woke me up in the middle of the night. And he said, "Get up. You're going to work." And summer vacation was over. Stop laughing. It wasn't funny. It was one of the worst things that ever happened to me. No, it really wasn't. It was one of the best things that ever happened to me. So I got up and I went to work. I got up and went to work every day that summer. I learned really well how to operate a weed eater that summer. My dad had me weed eat things that did not need to be weed eaten. Looking back on it, I realize now, I thought it was probably the hardest thing I'd ever done in my life, and up to that point it no doubt was, but it was one of the best things that happened to me because I learned that there was more to life than laying at the pool and plopping in every once in a while when you get hot. Some of you guys need to learn that there's more to life than video games and movies and time at the pool. You see, you could spend this summer living for Jesus Christ. Too many American Christians take a vacation. They take a vacation from God. Did you know that almost every church in our nation has what they call, what pastors affectionately call the summer slump? You know what that means? It means that the attendance goes down during the summer because people are taking a vacation, not just from school. They're taking a vacation from God. They don't study their Bible, they don't pray, and they certainly don't have time to show up for church during the summertime. And I'm trying to challenge you tonight that Jesus isn't just someone that we talk about on Sunday. He is our life. And there is no life without Christ. If you have Christ, you have life. And if you don't have Christ, death is abiding on you. And when He saves you, He gives you eternal life, and it is only reasonable that you would live for Him. Even during summer vacation, that you would live for Him, that He would be everything to you. For me, it's personal. You have to decide. You have to choose, number one, whether to trust in Christ. And there are some of you today that aren't saved. And in your heart this evening, you know deep down in your heart, if you died right now and God gave you justice, you'd end up in hell. And you know it tonight. And that scares you when you think about it. And you should be scared. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And if you would turn from your sin and unbelief and you would trust in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, He suffered and bled and died to pay for your sin. And if you would trust in Him, He will give you everlasting life. But it's up to you. It's a personal choice. For to me, Paul made his choice. But you have to make your choice. For to me, he says, to live is Christ. It's personal and it's prioritizing. You see, my life is not my own. My life is hid in Christ because my life has been bought by Christ. He purchased me with His own blood. I belong to Him. And when I make decisions, I don't have the right to do whatever I want to do. My life is to be determined by the Lord, to follow the leadership of His Holy Spirit, to follow the guidance of His Holy Word, and to do what He wants me to do. My life is His. To live is Christ. So every decision I make, I need to run by Him. Everything that I do, I need to do for Him. And if you're doing things you can't do for Christ, you don't need to do them. If you're growing places you wouldn't want to take Jesus, you don't need to go those places. Amen. If you're having conversations with your friends you wouldn't want to have with Jesus in the room, you don't need to have those conversations. Amen. If you're watching movies that you wouldn't want the Lord sitting on the couch next to you to watch, you shouldn't be watching the movie. Amen. If you're playing video games that you wouldn't want to have Jesus be your second player, you don't need to be playing the video game. Amen. I'm going to take that back. He would be the first player. You'd be the second player. By the way, I don't think Jesus is interested in playing any video games. Just saying. It's personal for to me. It's prioritizing to live is Christ. And it's persuasive. And to die is gain. Paul said, I am persuaded. I am persuaded. He was persuaded that the God who had begun a good work in the believers would finish it. What I'm telling you is, I got saved when I was 14 and I'm still saved today. And if I get to live until I'm 80 years old, I'll be saved then. And when I'm dead and they put my body in the ground, I'm still saved. I'm not dead because He made me alive. He made me alive. And when He gives life, it's life everlasting and it never, ever, ever goes away. And you could be persuaded to be able to say, to die is gain. I feel like I have to say this because of the nature of our culture today. Suicide rates are on the rise really, really bad right now. Some of you guys like to watch filth on Netflix you shouldn't watch. And one of the shows you should never watch is 13 Reasons Why. Amen. Thank you. Appreciate that. Appreciate that one amen. I hope the rest of you didn't amen it because you have no idea what it is. That works too. Ignorance is bliss. We're to be ignorant of the things of the world. 13 Reasons Why is all about reasons why a young lady committed suicide in the first season, and then it goes on. I don't know what the next season is, but it's full of filth. It's full of foul language and all kinds of nastiness. And there have been multiple suicides in our country attributed to that show. Young people watch that show and they get inspired to take their own life. What a great show. Listen, when I say to die is gain, there are a lot of people who feel like it would be better off if I were dead. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about someone who is depressed and in despair and feels beaten down and they're looking for an escape. That's not what I'm talking about. I am talking about someone who knows beyond a shadow of a doubt when they die, they'll be in heaven with God, and they are longing to be in eternity with their Savior. Amen. You see, Paul said, I'm in a strait between two because for me, it's far better if I die because I get to go be with Jesus. But Paul wasn't talking about taking his own life. The Romans were going to kill him, and he knew that they were going to kill him. He just didn't know when. He knew one day the Romans were going to lay him down and somebody with a large axe or a sword was going to chop his head off. And that's exactly what happened to the Apostle Paul. And he was glad for that day to come. Not that he would take his own life, but that he was willing to let his life be taken for Christ. Everybody see the distinction? But he said, it's better for you for me to stay. You see the focus? When you get so depressed that you're thinking about taking your own life just to end it all because that's some kind of escape, you're focused right here and you're not focused on him and you're not focused on others.
Right.
See, I want to plead with you. When you get so depressed and discouraged and you start thinking those horrible thoughts, you need to get rid of those thoughts. You need to cast aside those vain imaginations and you need to bring every thought into obedience of Christ and you need to focus on Jesus and you need to focus on others. Paul said, it's better for me to go be with Jesus, but you need me here and it's my joy to stay and help you. That's the heart we ought to have. Because how do we serve Christ? We serve Jesus Christ by serving others. When you give somebody a glass of cold water in the name of Jesus, you're doing it unto him. When you visit somebody in prison in the name of Jesus, you do it as unto him. When you give somebody that doesn't have any clothes, you give them some clothes or you give them some food. When you do good to others in the name of Jesus, that's how we serve Jesus. And he gets the glory. This evening, as we get ready for a verse of invitation, will you stand with me, please? Our musicians are coming. We're going to sing a verse of invitation, but I just want to plead with you tonight a couple of things, guys. Listen, some of you guys are old enough and you've been thinking about you need to be saved and you've got questions about that. I want to ask you this tonight. Do you know for sure that when you die, you'll be in heaven with God? I'm saying, have you been saved? Have you been born again? Has there ever been a moment when you've turned away from your sin to God and trusted in Jesus with all your heart? Have you been saved? If you haven't been saved, I want to plead with you tonight, come and let us show you from the Word of God how you can know for sure you have eternal life. You can come up here to me, or you can go to your Wednesday night teacher, wherever they're at in the room, go find them and say, I need to be saved. We would love nothing more than to show you from the Word of God how to be saved. If you are saved, I want to plead with you tonight to make a commitment to Christ tonight that he is going to be your life. Paul said, my life always magnifies the Lord Jesus Christ. What a great statement. And that's something we ought to pray for. Lord, I haven't been living in a way that magnifies you all the time. Please help me to live in a way that will magnify Jesus. Help me to have my life be for Christ alone. If he's convicting your heart about anything tonight, you've got a burden on your heart, you're going through some stuff, and you just need to come talk to the Lord about it. Whatever it is, you come right now while we sing.
Page 540.
Number 540. The Lord's convicting your heart. You need to be saved. You need to make a commitment to the Lord. You come right now.